Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. The time is never right to attempt migration by sea. To those who risk their lives doing so, this risk is not worth taking. Again, I repeat, do not risk your life attempting to enter the United States illegally. You will not come to the United States.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com.
Kill!
Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. I'm your host, Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program, 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com, Facebook. .com/HMB Radio. Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man. Do follow me there, please. That was Alex Mayorkas. That is the DHS secretary that I played at the beginning of the little clip there that I interchange every week. He says, Cubans don't come here. Southern border is essentially open for business. They're shipping off kids and people all across the country that come over that border. But for whatever reason, Cubans aren't allowed over here. Cuba's protesting their government, their communist government, chanting freedom in the streets. Florida obviously has a huge connection to, you know, Cuba, lot of Cuban immigrants here in Tampa, Miami. And I saw a tweet from some government official. I couldn't find the tweet. It was a few days ago. But she said that the reason they're actually protesting is because they want COVID vaccines. And that's really what they're protesting about. No. I mean, come on, man. Part of the thing is that Cuba's great with healthcare, right? That was the thing. Bernie Sanders said that their reading programs and their healthcare were second to none. Why are they having problems with COVID? I don't understand it. Mayorkas and the simulation, by the way, just keeps getting more and more impressive. So, Ali Mayorkas was a Cuban refugee. He was born in Havana, Cuba, and shortly after the Cuban Revolution, his family fled to Florida and later settled in California. I mean, chef's kiss. How great is that? Amazing. It's on his Wikipedia page there. Ron DeSantis wants to give the Cuban people internet. He penned a letter to President Biden on Wednesday urging the administration to help provide internet access to Cubans. He said amid the unprecedented anti-government protests by thousands of people, he said in a letter, "I write to urge you to assist in providing internet access to the people of Cuba, standing up against communist oppression and demanding a voice after decades of suffering under yoke of a cruel dictatorship." Thousands of people took part in demonstrations across Cuba this past weekend, protesting against the government and President Miguel Díaz-Canel amid an economic crisis and a spike in COVID-19 cases. Demonstrations took place in Miami's Little Havana neighborhood in a show of solidarity with the protesters in Cuba. Cuban government, following Sunday's historic protest, imposed an internet blackout that left a large percentage of the island disconnected, making matters difficult for activists who were working to track or publicize the scope of these security restrictions. Access to the internet, however, began to return on this past Wednesday, according to the Washington Post. Amid the blackout, DeSantis called on the Biden administration to act immediately and provide all necessary authorizations and funding to American businesses with the capability to provide internet access for the people of Cuba. He said steps must be taken immediately, noting that the U.S. has means to provide internet access to Cuba remotely. He said that the lack of internet access barred the Cuban people from communicating with one another and speaking to their loved ones in Florida. He also said the restrictions limited the world's ability to see what is happening on the ground as Cuban people rise in the support of freedom. He said access to the internet for all Cubans is of critical importance as they stand up against their communist government. President Biden did make a statement about Cuba, not in regard to Ron DeSantis's letter, but just in general. Dude, Ron DeSantis should just say, you know, Mayorkas is saying, don't come here. If he says, we'll give you asylum here in Florida, we'll be a sanctuary state. Oh my God. Can you imagine the heads that will just explode if that happened? Holy crap. All right, take it away, Joe.
Well, let me start off by answering the question relative to Haiti and Cuba. And communism is a failed system, universally failed system. And I don't see socialism as a very useful substitute, but that's another story. With regard to whether the circumstance in which we would send military troops to Haiti, We're only sending American Marines to our embassy to make sure that they are secure and nothing is out of whack at all. But the idea of sending American forces into Haiti is not on the agenda at this moment, number one. Number two, with regard to Cuba, Cuba is unfortunately a failed state in repressing their citizens. There are a number of things that we would consider doing to help the people of Cuba, but it would require a different circumstance or a guarantee that they would not be taken advantage of by the government. For example, the ability to send remittances to back to Cuba. I would not do that now because the fact is, it's highly likely that the regime would confiscate those remittances or big chunks of it. With regard to they need COVID on, the, I mean, assume they have a COVID problem in Cuba, I would be prepared to give significant amounts of vaccine if, in fact, I was assured an international organization would administer those vaccines and do it in a way that average citizens would have access to those vaccines. One of the things that you did not ask, but we're considering, is they have cut off access to the internet. We're considering whether we have the technological ability to reinstate that access. And I think I've answered your questions.
At least 100 protesters, activists, and independent journalists have been arrested since past Sunday, and those protests, and one person has died at this time. I'm sure that number will probably go up. And there's not only protests in Little Havana down in Miami, but also protests right here in Tampa. Tampa's got a huge Cuban population and the best Cuban sandwich. I don't want to hear it, Miami. Tampa is number one. Demonstrators attempted to get on I-275. It was funny. I was talking to a friend of mine about these protests, and they were like, wow, they're really doing it the right way. You know, it wasn't like this past summer where people were blocking the roads and hitting cars and, you know, intimidating people. And, you know, I'm really, this is cool. They're doing it the right way. And then literally hours after this, I sent him this story. Demonstrators attempted to get on I-275 near Northdale Mabry Highway on Tuesday evening, this past Tuesday. And they tried to block the road. One person was, of course, arrested for this. And I saw, you know, people complaining that how come this new HB1, you know, law isn't being used, the protesting law that was passed here in Florida, I guess, what, a couple months ago now? And it turns out, well, it was. The attorney for the two men arrested during the Cuban freedom protests in Tampa on Tuesday told a judge that Florida's new anti-riot bill doesn't apply to them and they should not be held without bond. 30-year-old Julian Rodriguez Rodriguez and 39-year-old Mikel Vasquez Pico are believed to be the first defendants in the Tampa Bay area held without bond due to that HB1. The so-called anti-riot law was cited in their charging documents. Victor Zamora of Visa Law, the attorney representing both men, told the Hillsborough County judge, Catherine Catlin, in court on Thursday morning that because neither of his clients were charged under the new statutes created by HB1, that they shouldn't be held without bond. Catlin didn't address his argument during the bond hearing and said, saying that we're here for a bond hearing, not a trial. Catlin then told both men through an interpreter that she was proud to live in a country where we can express our opinions and protest peacefully. But what is the alleged in this criminal report affidavit is criminal activity, not a protest, the judge said. She said, I tell you this, in case your ICE hold is lifted and you post bond, I encourage you to peacefully protest so that your legitimate message is heard, but criminal conduct will not be tolerated by this court. She then set a bond for Rodriguez Rodriguez at $5,000 each for two felony counts of battery on a law enforcement officer and $2,500 for one felony count of resisting an officer with violence and $1,000 for one misdemeanor count of assemblies obstructing streets or sidewalks. Vasquez Pico's bond was set at $2,500 for one felony count of battery on a law enforcement officer, $500 for one count of resisting an officer without violence, and $1,000 for one count of assemblies obstructing streets or sidewalks. Certainly wasn't as bad as some of the protests that happened this summer. I even saw some in St. Pete where people were banging on cars and, you know, stopping people from going. That's not peaceful. That kind of protesting is not peaceful. Stopping someone's movement and their freedom to move is not a peaceful act. I don't understand the blocking the road thing. It's just going to piss people off. I mean, I support the Cuban people in their fight to be free from this dictatorship that they live under. Sure, no doubt about it. But then, can we send these people to block the road back? Enough with the blocking the road thing. I don't understand. It just makes people mad. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable. Okay, but is it supposed to make me mad? Because now I'm mad. People in Florida, man, they carry guns and stuff. I wouldn't be blocking the road. I wouldn't be afraid of getting run over. I'd be afraid of getting shot. We're nuts here. It's a Wild West, baby. This is Florida. But yeah, man, you can't be blocking traffic. That's not peaceful. That's not cool. You never know what people are doing, where they need to be, or they're headed to the hospital. You know those trite arguments. You're aware of them. But yeah, man, you can't be blocking the road. It's not peaceful. I had a friend of mine say, well, you can't, under this HB1 law, that you can't block the road or sidewalk. So where are you supposed to stand? I don't know, anywhere else? A park? Public property? That's what I would suggest. Out of traffic and out of the way. People make these scenarios that they're just like, there is just no possible way that this just outlaws protesting. Well, it doesn't. Go to the park, man. Now, protesting does nothing. You got to keep that in mind, too. Doesn't really do that much. But sure, I'm all for it. And if you stand out in the road, you might get run over. That's just part of the deal now. Seems fair to me. What, I have to sit there in my car for 3 hours while you just chant slogans and do nothing? No thanks. Do I have any say in this? Even if I'm on your team? No? Well, then no. You get run over. 813-693-2124-HMBRadio.com. The Stanley Cup Tour has begun. Go to HMBRadio.com/news right now. You can read a story about... I don't think anyone found out who exactly it was, but the Stanley Cup was damaged during the Lightning's celebration over this past week. And it looked like a photo of Pat Maroon. Of course, Pat Maroon was holding a dented Stanley Cup. We don't know who did it, but the cup was damaged and the had to be shipped up to Montreal, of all places, to be fixed. Those poor people. Haven't they suffered enough? And of course the answer is no. The Canadiens forward, Brandon Gallagher, you know, he lost the Stanley Cup. He's most famously known for getting dumped on his head in game one or two and having a bloody head after he tried to fight. I can't remember. He tried to fight one of the Lightning players. So he had to tuck his tail between his legs, catch a flight from Tampa, and head back home to Montreal last week. He came home, and his house was robbed. Yeah. He said, he put it on TikTok. He said, when your Stanley Cup dreams are crushed, you still have to come home to find out that you've been robbed, but it's okay. He said, and he's listening to a Pitbull song. I like the Cuba connection there. He says, because Pitbull has been there and done that. The Canadians flew to Tampa on Tuesday, so the alleged robbery could have been committed at any time since then. Gallagher did not say which items were missing from his home or provide any additional details. Montreal fans were devastated for the 2010 fifth-round pick, who emerges a fan favorite during his 9-year career with the franchise. Somebody said, I just want to give him a hug. He deserves one. He needs one. Go give him a hug. Poor guy. There was concern that maybe the cup would end up in the river because of the famous Tom Brady throwing the Lombardi trophy over the boat parade earlier this year when the Bucks won the Super Bowl. So there was, you know, some thought that maybe the Lightning would try to copy his thing. That ended up not happening. It's a little different. The Lombardi trophy weighs about 7 pounds. The Stanley Cup is around 33, 34 pounds, I believe. A little bit heavier, you know, to toss over there. So they opted up not to do that. But in the post-game celebration, somebody, Pat Maroon, dented the cup. And go over and check that out, hmbradio.com/news, and you can see that photo. The Stanley Cup this happens. It's, we're not the first, you know, city to do this. So we're not a complete embarrassment. I saw people on Twitter saying, take away the cup. This city doesn't deserve these things, these nice things. Relax. Tons of times this has happened. 1905, there was a player with the Ottawa Senators. He tried to dropkick the Stanley Cup across the Rideau Canal. Kind of what Tom Brady did. Tom Brady might have stole it from this guy. But because of the time of year, the canal was frozen, so the cup was able to be retrieved, but it wasn't a smooth landing. In 1924, before the Canadians were known for losing to the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2021, they actually won championships, many of them. They have 23-something championships. However, that was in the days where there was four teams or something, Toronto, Montreal, and some other stupid Canadian teams. Two more that I don't know. But in 1924, the team drove over to the team owner, Leo Dondurand, and on the way there, they got a flat tire. Logically, the cup was used to help change that flat tire and accidentally left on the side of the road. See, we're not that bad. And lucky enough, when the team came back for it, it was right where they left it. 1987, it wasn't the Edmonton Oilers' first Stanley Cup when Marc Messier took the title to one of his favorite clubs in Alberta, Canada. The team had just won their third Stanley Cup in 4 years, so it's safe to say that Messier was comfortable carrying Lord Stanley around. Maybe a little too comfortable, however, because he allowed fans to drink from the cup, and by the end of the night, it was so damaged, the cup, that it had to be taken to a local body shop to be repaired. In 91 and 93, there's a question that was answered, which was, does the Stanley Cup float? The Pittsburgh Penguins took a stab at it, finding out when they tossed the cup into Mario Lemieux's pool, the results showed that the cup does not float. However, they were inconclusive enough that the Montreal Canadiens tried their hand at finding out in 93. Same experiment, but this time in Patrick Waugh's pool, the goalie for them. Same result. So we can say definitively that the Stanley Cup does not float. So good thing those guys didn't throw it from boat to boat. Even happened in 2019. Anne-Marie Van Sill was not even an hour old when her parents, St. Louis Blue fans, decided to place her in the Stanley Cup. The 20-minute-year-old child was the youngest person to ever sit in the cup, and she probably pooed in it. So, you know, that's all you do when you're a kid. You pee, poo, and eat. I've been doing it for 36 years now. I know from experience. There was a big celebration in the park down there near Armature Works, and there was threats of rain, and sure enough, it stormed big time that day during the Lightning celebration in the park. It will not be rescheduled, so you cannot go back. They had a blast, though. I saw social media posts where, you know, the players were all hanging out with the crowd. Nikita Kucherov was just his jovial self, hilarious. And I think the fans had a good time. We got enough out of that celebration. It wasn't what they wanted, but it was a good time had by all. I wanted to go, but then I didn't want to go. You know what I mean? It just seemed like the threat of, you know, the weather and the heat and the people. No, thanks. Not for me. I would have loved to go if I had some sort of boat situation. That would have been fantastic. That's the way to do it. Take your own boat, not have to worry about parking. I thought about, like, man, I should download the Uber app, though, and go do some driving for that thing. Do they have that? I think Uber stopped that, where they had these just incredible surge prices, where it was just like, if you want to pay it, I'll take you. And it was just a bidding war. I one of my duties at my day job is to pay bills and stuff, and I get my boss's credit card invoices, I guess, what do you call it, bill, you know, whatever. And he had a charge one time a few years ago from the Lightning game, from Amalie Arena to his home in Madeira Beach. $700. Holy God. $700. I think they got sued or something, though, and because people were just drunk and hopping in the Uber and just be like, it's worth it. And then the next day they wake up and go, oh, my God, what have I done? I should have just slept on the sidewalk. $700. So, yeah, I don't think they do that anymore, but... yeah, it looked like the team had a great time, and know that that event will not be rescheduled. But, hey, maybe it'll be one next year. I think that team is just going to be broken up, though, out of, you know, necessity. They don't have any money left. They won that cup, $18 million or something over the cap, and it was some rule, the salary cap, where they were able to do that. I don't really know. But, yeah, I think the team is going to come to an end. You can't be mad, man. Two championships in 2 years back-to-back. You know, three is a dynasty. It'd be cool if they could get three in a row. And who knows? You know, that organization's run very well. So maybe it could happen. Who knows, man? The GM gave a end-of-the-year kind of just press conference, I guess. And it was crazy how many people were injured during that whole thing. Let's play some audio of Julien Brisebois, the GM for the Lightning.
As for the team itself, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed watching them play during this playoff run. Not only as the general manager of this organization, but as a hockey fan. Obviously such a talented group, but most importantly, so much collective heart. All of the block shots, all of the hits given and taken, all of the punches given and taken, all of the competing through injury. It was outstanding and so inspiring to watch on a game in, game out basis. Victor Hedman suffered a torn meniscus in a game on March 30th. So he's been playing through that ever since. He's having a meniscectomy today. Expected downtime is 3 to 4 weeks, so we're not concerned going forward. Barclay Goodrow and Ryan McDonough played in the playoffs with a broken hand. We had a number of players with some banged up shoulders, nothing of concern going forward. Obviously, Alex Killorn suffered a broken fibula in game one of the Stanley Cup final. I saw the x-ray. It was broken in two very distinct pieces all the way through. Blocked that shot, broke his leg on a Monday. On a Thursday, in hopes of being able to come back and help us win the Stanley Cup, had a rod inserted in his fibula. Was skidding by Saturday. That's how he went to Stanley Cup.
Poor guy got a little emotional there, but who can blame him? You know, that's really laying it all on the line. Your body, your mind, your soul. Break your leg, get an implant put in, and get your butt back out there. I don't think anybody would have blamed Alex Killorn if he didn't play, you know, in the Stanley Cup series, but that's what these guys, you know, do. This is their life. This is all they know how to do, probably a lot of them. So, you know, they wanted to be out there, and it's so rare to get to a final like that. I guess it's worth the risk, but, man, crazy.
And Cooch, obviously, part of this is I have a cold. Part of it is I was inspired by the guys.
It's okay, you can cry.
Cooch obviously suffered I think you know by now, a non-displaced rib fracture in the series against the Islanders from a cross check. Played with a flak jacket from that point on, and also had a nerve block injection the day before every game from that point on. So it makes his performance during these playoffs, both before the injury and post broken rib, all the more impressive. He's a tough hockey player. He's an incredible hockey player, and all of us in Bolt Nation are happy that he's our Cooch. So couldn't be happier for him, and he seemed really happy that we won as well. There isn't a more determined player out there than Nikita Kucherov.
That's a fact, no doubt about it. He had a blast. I saw he got sponsored by Bud Light during the whole thing. His post-game interviews were great. Probably my favorite athlete right now in Tampa Bay, that's for sure. What a fun dude. And good for those guys. The Stanley Cup tour begins now that it's, you know, out there fixed, ready to go. And its first stop will be one day in Robinville, New Jersey. That's the hometown of Tampa Bay rookie forward Ross Colton. He scored the one and only goal in Game 5 in the Stanley Cup Final, which won the series. The couple then visit Kevin Shattenkirk on Saturday, according to a Lightning official. And While he's currently a defenseman with the Anaheim Ducks, he spent the previous season with the Lightning. He recorded 13 points on 3 goals and 10 assists in that Stanley Cup run. Shattenkirk could not properly celebrate with the cup after winning it in the Edmonton bubble in September 2020, so now he's finally getting his chance. That's cool. They let him do that because they all get one day with it, and they can kind of do whatever they want. There's a guy that goes around with them as security, and they can kind of take it and do whatever they want. I swear to God, everyone in this city has a picture with the Stanley Cup. I'm scrolling through Facebook. Everybody's got one. Where? Where do you get this done? And I even see people I work with at the radio station. Apparently, it comes through there, or it came through there last year. And I don't know if maybe some of them were from the first time in 2004, maybe. But I want a picture of this dang thing. If it comes through and nobody tells me, I'm going to burn the place to the ground. 813-693-2124. You can leave a voice and text message there. You can go to hmbradio.com and read that article about the Dennett Stanley Cup and some other things that are on there. I've been periodically, every once in a while, putting up a news story that's relevant to the Tampa Bay area. It's short. It's sweet. I just tell you the pertinent information, and you can go on, you know, with your day. And leave a message there and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My DMs are open. Any questions, concerns, whatever, home_made_man. This episode is a little shorter. Sorry about that. I ran out of time, and I apologize, but we'll make it up next week. Anna should be back. Until then, my name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I hope you have a great week, and I will talk to you very soon. Johnny B. Show, 9 to midnight on 102.5 The Bone, theboneonline.com. You can catch me there Monday through Friday. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.